I want to continue talking this morning a little bit more about what we talked about last week when I had the assistance of the three puppets over here on spirit, soul, and body. And I had not planned to, but as I sat down Tuesday to pray about what to teach here, then I was led in this direction. So I believe it's from God. And we talked last week about being body, soul, and spirit. We talked a little bit about renewing the mind, but we really didn't spend a lot of time on some things about how to do that. And so I want to get back into that today, because I want to say to you again, we need to learn how to live from our spirit. But that involves getting our mind renewed so that our spirit and our mind are in sync, and thus we can control this flesh. And so today we're going to go back into that. But we're going to start by talking a little bit about the Spirit. Now, you know 2 Thessalonians 5, or 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord. So we are a spirit. We live in this body. And in between there is our soul. Spirit, soul, and body. And what we said was renewing our soul is very important. But because that's where a lot of our life is lived. And you can tell where you are. You know, we looked at Isaiah 55 where the Lord said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. And so we see a connection between thoughts and ways. And so what we want to do is get our spirit and our soul lined up, and then we'll move in the things in this body that he wants us to. Now, in doing that, it would be nice maybe if we thought that the spirit could just tell the body what to do, but that's not what happens. My body, this hand, doesn't do anything except what my mind tells it to do in my soulish realm. And so what are we faced with then? Choices. I can use my hand for something evil, or I can lay my hands on Miss Evelyn and pray for her. I can bless you with my mouth, or I can curse you with my mouth. All those things are dependent on what's in our mind. So as we talk about that this morning, we're made in the image of the Lord. So I want to go talk a little bit about spirit. Look at John 4:24 with me. Big John 4:24. Now, when Pastor Trey's been teaching on the Holy Spirit, he refers to him as a person. And that's what I want to do, except I'm going to talk about the Father this morning as we talk about this. This verse tells us clearly God is spirit, and that we who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if we're going to worship in spirit, then the first thing we've got to do is become aware of this, that we are a spirit being, and learn how to draw from that. But let's talk about the Father for a minute. He is a spirit. And when we think about the spiritual realm, a lot of people see that spiritual realm as something that is non-existent, that they don't, because they can't see it, they don't believe it. But the spiritual realm is a real environment. It's a real kingdom. It is where the source of our life comes from. But it's not visible in this body that we live in unless some special endowments happen where he allows us to see in that realm. The word compares the environment we live in and refers to it as temporal versus the eternal. So I just want you to think about this part. What happens when eternal meets temporal? Which one's going to overcome? The eternal is. And so that's why we want our mind lined up with our spirit, so that it just flows through us and impacts this flesh in every way that we can. And this is really, when we learn to do that, then we're going to be like that butterfly who, when he comes out of the cocoon, when he's been changed, he navigates in a new environment, air, where before he was bound to the ground. And that's the freedom that we want to have, to be able to operate in this spirit realm that the Father lives in. So if we're going to do that, then how should we look at, or what should we think about the Lord? Look at John 5, verse 37. Because if we are in his image, then we need to think about him in terms of how he is in a spirit. This verse says, "And the Father who sent me, he has testified of me." It's Jesus talking. And he says, "You've neither heard his voice at any time, nor what? Seen his form." So we think sometimes that God is just something up there. But this verse tells us he has a form. He has a form. Now, if we're talking about has a form, then I might say he has a spiritual body. Well, what might that look like? Well, the book of Ezekiel, the first chapter, the 26th and 27th verses, gives us a little bit more description of him. And remember, we're made in his exact image, which I believe is the spirit part of us, and in his likeness, which I believe is what he means by this form. So Ezekiel, seeing in the spirit realm, said, "Now above that expanse was over their heads, there was something like a throne." That's his throne. "And lapis lazuli in appearance. And on that throne, and on that which resembled a throne, high up was a figure with the appearance of a man." Now your first thought may be, what does he look like? Look at each other for a few minutes. Because I believe, last Sunday morning I think Trey stood over here and said he looks like me and grinned real big. I personally believe he looks like a composite of all of us. And so we see that in this spirit form, the person of the Father has a body, has an appearance. Go ahead and look at 27. Because this tells you he had a figure like ours, but I want you to see how he is. "Then I noticed from his appearance of his loins upward, something like a glowing metal that looked like fire all around and within it. And from the appearance of his loins downward, I saw something like a fire. And there was a radiance around him." When I've heard of people going and visiting heaven, I've heard a couple of people say as they saw Jesus and the Father that they would see Jesus walk into this radiance around that throne. And in my mind, that's what I see that Adam and Eve did when they were in the garden and they said, "Hey, you hear that? He's coming." And they didn't go hide like they did after sin. They ran into him. That's the vision I get, that he wants us coming into his presence in the midst of all that glory. And yet, to do that, you've got to see yourself worthy of doing that. Now, let me continue on here in a minute. His soul, his thoughts, we know he has thoughts. We talked about that. So he's got a mind. Will, well, what is his will? Well, you've got that will either in the print that you have in your lap or on the telephone or the iPad or whatever you're looking at. His word is his will. So if we look at his word, then who are we looking at? Jesus. So when we read the gospel accounts, when we see all the prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament, then what we are seeing is the will of the Lord. So I want us to look at Mark, first chapter, and we'll start around verse 40. Because I want you to see, since we're in healing school today, if we're going to receive healing, we must know that it is his will. We must have that revelation in our spirit that he wants us well. But we also need to have what? We're talking about mind renewal, and let me just tell you now. Mind renewal, when you need mind renewal, it starts with the Word. And the Holy Spirit will then do his work. We're going to see that in a little more depth. But in Mark chapter 1 and verse 40, a leper comes to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." So what's he saying? I know you're able. I just don't know if you will. And too many believers never get their own mind renewed to the point of saying to him, I know you will heal me. They know that he might heal Judy. But we must have our mind renewed to the fact that he will heal me. Now, if he said this to the leper, is he a respecter of person? Does he esteem one more than another? No. So we can take as fact, we can go to the bank on it, we can take it as final authority, he desires to heal me. And then we're going to get further to see that he already has healed us. Now, let me make one other statement here. I often ask people, was this guy in faith? And I'll get about half the people saying yes and the other half saying no. I personally don't think he was fully in faith. He had great hope and expectation. But he did not know the Lord's will. And you must know that if you're going to step out in faith. If you're going to step out on the water as Peter did, then you have to have heard his will on the matter. And what did Jesus say to Peter? Come. So he stepped out. And I like to say he didn't step out on the water. He stepped out on the word. And that's what sustained him, was the word that Jesus spoke. Now, so mind, will, and emotion is normally the third thing we talk about. Does God have emotion? And the answer is absolutely yes. He showed it in Genesis 6 when he said he was grieved. Was God ever angry? Yes. Now, I want you to go with me to Isaiah 54 for this verse that talks about him and anger. Because the mental picture, the mental disposition, our mindset is that he is always angry, and the result of that anger, what's happening? He's punishing us. And if you went and talked to many believers, they would say, I wonder what that person did that caused this to come upon them. What are they implicating? They're saying, the Lord has done this to us. In Isaiah 54, the 9th verse. And so I'm not going to use a scripture that talks about him being angry. I'm going to tell you, this is how he is to you today. For this is like the days of Noah to me, covenant talk, that when I swore the waters of Noah would not flood the earth again, so I have sworn that I will not be angry, King James says wrath, with who? With you. So we need to get our mind renewed that he's not angry with us, nor is he going to rebuke us, which has an implication that there's something, punishment, coming wise. Now you can read this all day long. You can pray and ask Trey to lay hands on you, that you'll understand this and that you'll see it, that he's not angry with me. But until this word, which is implanted in here, renews your mind, only thing you're going to get from Trey laying his hands on you day after day is a bald spot. Because this has to be something that the Holy Spirit works in you to put it in your heart. Now this is another one, Zephaniah 3:17. And these verses that I'm giving you are verses that if you're having any difficulty in any of these areas, you need to go meditate on and let the Holy Spirit work with you to renew your mind to what this says. This is New American Standard, right? Yes. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. In other words, he's singing concerning you. So how do we renew our mind to this? The same way. Do you see yourself in such a manner that the Lord rejoices over you? Let me ask you this question. Do you rejoice over your spirit man and what he's done? Do you see yourself that way? If you hadn't, you probably hadn't renewed your mind to that fact. Because if you see yourself as he sees you, then you're going to see the work that he's done in you as very valuable, bought with precious blood, that highly valuable blood of Jesus. So this is another indication of his emotion, and yet too many of us never get to the point where we see ourselves this way. A personal testimony. No pride handed in it. Each of us are at different levels of maturity, of renewing our mind. Some of us are very strong in having our mind renewed in one area and weak in another. That's why we need each other. That's why the body is important. But I want to just stress, this is a continuing thing. I'm walking last year in the early fall, and as I'm walking, I don't mean I hear an audible voice, but I was praying some about teaching and what the Lord is calling us to do and has called us to do and what he's got in the future. And I heard this question rise up in my spirit. Do you see yourself as a gift to my body? Now, I believe I'm called as a teacher. But you know how I had to answer that question? I had to say no at that point. What's he telling me? We each have areas that we need to renew our mind in, that he's wanting us to walk in, so that when our mind is renewed to that fact, then what's in our spirit can come through this soul and be manifested over here in this flesh. In other words, it's to your benefit if I see myself that way. Pastor Trey talked about last night, not being ashamed of the gifts and calling that are on us, that the Holy Spirit puts on us. That's all he was doing, is trying to take me to another level where I recognized I had a calling, but I didn't have it the right way. He's got to just take us on and on. And so we're going to be growing, I believe, for a long time to come. Now, he is a spirit. 1 John 4:8. Beloved, let us love one another. And then how does it end up? The one who does not love does not know God. And then it says, for God is love. That is the core of his being. The DNA of his spirit, the foundation of it, I believe, is love. And so then the question becomes, how do we see ourselves in his image? Your spirit is regenerated. That means that you have a new spirit, a being that never before existed, we saw last week. It is in your past if you're born again. You were made righteous. You have been placed in right standing with him. He is willing, he made you so righteous, he's willing to dwell in that spirit, joined with your spirit as one that he's made for you. So, do I see myself that way? My soul, it's a renewal process, we said. We're going to get into that process momentarily. So it's a work in progress. My body one day will be glorified, but today I can partake of the first fruits, like healing, like many of you have experienced and are experiencing. And when we see him as he is, then this body will have a suddenly occur on it, and will be transformed to be like him. But for now, we can participate in the first fruits of the cross. Now, if you see that you are spirit, soul, and body, when you read Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, then you're going to see the work of the Spirit took care of your sin so that you could what? Look at 5, if you would, Em. He was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. Our sin problem was taken care of. Our open rebellion and the little misses we have. He's taken care of that. So we have been made righteous. He took care of my spirit. He took care of my soul, because he says the chastening for our peace or our well-being fell upon him. So he's taken care of spirit. He's provided a way in the soulish realm. And then he says, and by his scourging or by those stripes, we are healed. He makes it in the physical. So on the cross, he made provision for eternity and for here, spirit, soul, and body. And so we must begin to see ourselves walking in that manner. How about, let's just decree this. I have been made righteous.
I have been made righteous.
Now, I want you to say it like you mean it. Don't just repeat it. If you don't, if you can't see yourself this way, then part of you saying it is what you're going to see as part of the steps that we must go through in our mind renewal. So let's start again. I have been made righteous.
I have been made righteous.
I am complete in him. I am holy. Okay, we've talked about our spirit. Let's talk about our soul. I am at peace.
I am at peace.
I have joy.
I have joy.
I am at rest.
I am at rest.
Let's talk about our flesh now. I am healed.
I am healed.
I am whole.
I am whole.
I prosper.
I prosper.
In every area of my life. Now, those are the types of confessions that we need to make when we don't see ourselves in the way that the Word describes us. I need to take a detour. Luke, 18th chapter. My heart has just been moved today toward those of you who are with us. And I just want to share this with you. I also think it can be an encouragement for those who have never married, or for those who are single now because of whatever situation happened early on. And I want to tell you, if you study the Lord's Word, you who are in that category have a special place in his heart. And therefore, you have a special place in my heart. We're instructed in that way. Chapter 18, verse 1 starts by saying, now he was telling a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. I was actually reading this during my quiet time this morning. I'm waking early and I'm sitting praying in tongues and reading. And this morning I made it through one whole chapter. And most of the time was spent on these first eight verses. What I believe is telling us there, all of us, is that we ought to have expectation and we don't want to ever give up. So in other words, we have continual hope. And then he begins to tell this parable in verse 2, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. No fear of God and no respect for his creation. Boy, can you see the state of our nation and other nations around the world in that statement? I mean, you understand some rulings, even on unborn children. And then verse 3 says, and there was a widow in that city. And she kept coming to him, and she was saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. The word widow is really critical here. In the Hebrew language, the word which is translated widow comes from a Hebrew word which literally means speechless or silent. So the picture that I get from that is almost as when a person becomes a widow, that they feel like they've lost their voice. And that was certainly the case in Old Testament times. And sometimes when we lose our voice, it makes us feel like we are all alone. But I've got two scriptures that I want you to see. Let's go first, sorry to do this to you, but to Isaiah 54 again. In verse 5. Now, why is this important that we feel like we lose our voice? Because sometimes there is such a bond that when husbands and wife pray, things happen quickly. And when one is not there, you feel like you've lost your voice in relationship to asking the Father for things. And I want you to see you've not. You've moved to an elevated place in His eyes. Verse 5 says, "For your husband is your maker." So you have someone that took your place. And who is his name? His name is the Lord of hosts, Jehovah. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is the one who bought you out. Let's go read Psalm 68, verse 5, and then I'll make a statement. And we'll go back to where we were in the book of Luke. Psalm 68, verse 5. Talking about the Lord, it says that He is a father of the fatherless. And I want you to look at this next phrase. And He is a judge for whom? The widows. So here is this widow going to this judge who respects not God, respects not person. And that just says to me, He's not listening to her voice. Yet, this tells us, you have a judge who does hear your voice. Now let's go back to Luke. And I don't know exactly who this is for, but let it be an encouragement to you that these things that you're believing for regarding healing, which is why we're here today, the Lord is working on your behalf. So let me start with verse 3 again. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me." So all of a sudden this widow is bothering him, yet if you look at the definitions in the Hebrew, it says she had no voice. I believe what the Lord is saying is, because you have a righteous judge, because the Lord is your husband, He's the one who is troubling this judge. Just like when Jesus was on trial, and who was it? Pilate's wife was troubled by a dream. The Lord troubled her by a dream. Don't do this. And look what he says. "Yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said." Now he's beginning to make a contrast, not a comparison, between this unrighteous judge and the judge of the widows, of the judge for all of us, if we want to extend it that way, but this encouragement is for that group. And then he starts talking about, "Now shall God not bring about justice for his elect, who cry out to him?" That's not crying, but who are just calling out to him day and night. "And will he delay long over them?" So he's asking us the question. And look at verse 8. "I tell you that he will," talking about whom? The Lord your maker, the Lord God. "He will bring about justice for them quickly." So that's saying to me, the Lord is interceding on your behalf, to these that you here who are in that category I'm speaking to, of not at this point having a husband. This says he's going to act on your behalf quickly. You have a voice in heaven acting on your behalf. Now, why am I sharing this? It's almost as if you read this verse, you think, well, he's changing subjects. Read the rest of it. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth? He wants you to see yourself as this verse is talking about with Isaiah 54, with Psalm 68, that you're not alone, that you're not by yourself, that you have this voice who is in union with you, crying out for you. Don't feel like you're in this battle for your health by yourself. You have the Lord, your Maker, as your husband. Now, I just want to encourage you who are in that with it. So, let's get back to where we were going. The renewal process. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I'll speed up a little bit, but not too much. We read this last week, and it's worth reading again. And I urge you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. We're going to come back to this phrase in a minute as we begin talking about how do we renew our mind. Acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Some translations say your reasonable service of worship. And then it says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the pressure squeeze you into the world's form. And that's what has already happened to a lot of us, our mind, before we were born again. But be transformed. That's the metamorphosis that we talked about with the cocoon and the caterpillar and the butterfly. How are we going to do that? By the renewing of your mind. And renewing there is the word mean renovate. So it's take out the old and replace it with new. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. How about if I say it this way? That people may see displayed in your physical body what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of the Lord. Now, I want to say again, this is not something that you can do in your flesh. When we've talked, Pastor Robert and Trey have talked about fighting thoughts. One of the key things I think we all say is you cannot fight the thoughts in your head with your thoughts. You're going to get beat. The devil's been doing it too long. He knows how to do it. And he will eat your lunch every day if that's the way you fight. So we've got to know that this battle is not just a flesh battle. It is a spiritual battle. And it starts with the Word of God. Now, I want to go over, but I want to read some different translations this week, some of the scriptures that we read last week, and there'll be a new one. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Now, this verse is talking about a natural man. But would you agree with me that if we so choose to live carnally, we're not much different than a natural man? And some of the impacts that we see here will be manifest in us if we make that choice to live this way. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. It goes on and says, he cannot understand them because they're what? Spiritually appraised or spiritually discerned. Let me read you the Amplified for this verse. The natural, non-spiritual man does not accept nor welcome or admit into his heart the gifts, the teachings, and revelations of the Spirit of God. Let me say again, if you come in here today thinking, well, I'm here, but I don't know if I'm going to get anything, what have you done? You've just closed your heart so that you're not accepting, welcoming, or admitting what the Lord is trying to speak to you today. And then it goes on and says, for they are folly, meaningless nonsense to him, and he's incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing, understanding, or becoming better acquainted with them, because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. Wow. So this says we've got to fight. This has got to happen, not in this flesh realm, not in just our thought realm, but it's got to originate where? From our spirit as we are born again. Now, I want to ask this question, because too many times people will say, I just can't read the word and understand it. So I'm just going to ask a question. Are you a spiritual being? If the answer is yes to that, then that former statement can no longer be an excuse. Because these things are not discerned by your brain. They are discerned through His Spirit and will impact you from the Spirit that is yours, where He dwells with you. James 1:21. Let me just read this to you in the New Living Translation. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God which has been planted in your souls, for it has the power to save your souls. The Amplified, same verse, says, so get rid of uncleanness and rampant outgrowth of wickedness, and in a humble and gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word. That's why I said it begins with the word, which implanted in your heart. Now, if it's implanted in your heart, that means you've got to make the decision you're going to be good ground. So that it produces, it grows, because it does what? It contains the power to save your soul. One more verse, Proverbs 20:27. Talking about the spirit of a man. And I'll wait so you can all see it. The spirit of a man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of your being. So this tells me that word in your spirit is going to be able to discern difference between spirit and soul, which is what Hebrews tells us. And it's the way that you're going to be taught as you are renewing your mind. The word of God isn't just paper and ink. It is spirit. And that's why so many people read the word and they may have it memorized. They may even speak it backwards. But you know what? Until it gets in the spirit, it produces nothing in them. The Amplified on this verse says, the spirit of a man, that factor in human personality which it proceeds immediately from God, is the lamp of God, searching his innermost parts. So now let's go to Ephesians 4, where we spent some time last week, but we probably hurried through them way too fast. And I want to read you verse 24. We're going to be going to 24 and back to 21 and 2 and then to 23. And if we can you pull it up in the New King James? So Ephesians 4:24 in the New King James tells us that we are to what? Put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The New Living Translation says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Do you see yourself that way? Do you recognize the real you is truly righteous and holy? If not, then renewal process is an opportunity. Now, let me just stop there. This is past tense. Put on the new nature. You've already got it. If I had a sport coat today and I left it on that pew over there, I couldn't put it on. But if I had that coat in my hand, I could put an arm in, fold that thing around me, and I could put on that new man. Why? Because it's mine. I possess it. I see it, and even though it's over there, I know it's mine, and I can put it on whenever I want to. This is the way we must begin to see ourselves. Now let's back up to some verses that are before this, that lead up to this verse. 21. And you can stay in the New King James. If indeed you've heard about Jesus, have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, then what is it telling us to do in 22? To put off, to take off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So we're supposed to take off. Now, wait a minute. Why do I need to take it off? I thought my spirit was recreated into perfect. It is. It's not talking here about what? Your spirit man. It's talking about the way you think, the thoughts that you see, that you have according to yourself. And it's telling you to take it off. But we just saw, if I'm having these thoughts, I can't fight these thoughts with thoughts. So how am I going to take it off? How am I going to take it out of my mind? Glad you asked that. Look at verse 23. By being renewed in your mind. And now jump down to 24 and come back to 23, if you would, for me. I want us to see what is between taking off and putting on. Having our mind renewed. What is a renovation? Taking out and putting in. So do you see what he's telling us here? That our mind is not renewed by thinking, I'm gonna. You're getting into works. It's not gonna happen that way. So back to 23. The New Living. Well, let me read this one first. Be renewed where? In the spirit of your mind. Now, spirit here is not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's not even talking about your spirit. It's talking about the way you think, your mental disposition, your thoughts, your attitudes. Can I ask this question? And I'll go ahead and raise my hand. Is it possible for a born-again believer to have a bad attitude? Where's he living from? That old man. Because he hasn't what? Renewed his thoughts. Is it possible for someone who's living truly from the Spirit to have a bad attitude? Don't answer too quick. It's not. But it's not possible. Because there's no bad attitude in your spirit. This is all part of that renewal process that we can do. The New Living Translation for this verse says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Now, I believe they've taken some liberties with that. That's not exactly what I think the Greek language is saying, but it sure makes the point of what he's addressing and getting. The Amplified says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and special attitude. So for some of us, this is a real work in progress for healing. For others, healing seems to come easy. For some, joy comes easy because their mind is renewed and they are just joyful all the time. For others, it's not as easy. Different places in different people. So don't limit yourself or criticize yourself or throw rocks. On throwing rocks. Remember when the woman caught in adultery was caught and was brought to Jesus? You know where they brought her to? Straight from that act to the temple. Think that wouldn't interrupt service? And Jesus said to him, he who is without sin cast the what? First stone. And they started leaving from the older to the younger. And then he said, neither do I hold it against you. So he didn't throw a rock, even though he could. Don't accept the rocks that people throw at you about what you are. Accept what the Word says. And can I take it a step further? Quit throwing rocks at yourself. Don't do it. That's the devil's work when you're doing that. You're playing right into his game when we do that. Now go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And we want to start in verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish. Well, I'm quoting from another version, but for we also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. This is not only what the non-born again people are doing, but it is also what people who are born again can do until they renew their mind. So that was us. That's what this says. That's the way we were. We don't like it, but that's the way we were. Verse 4. But when the kindness of God, oh, thank you, Father, for that loving kindness, for your chesed, your mercy. When the loving kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, when Jesus gave Himself and came on the scene, look at what the verse says following. He saved us. Past tense, that's who I am today. And it's not on the basis of deeds which we've done in righteousness. In other words, I could not make myself righteous and holy and in truth today. But it was according to His mercy. And then those two words that we talked about last week, by the washing of regeneration by the Spirit. Regeneration there means a new birth. Something that happens suddenly. So that is talking about our spirit, because we know it's not talking about renewing our mind, because we've already seen that that's a process. And then he says, not only did the Spirit regenerate us when we accepted His word, the gospel, the good news about Jesus, but He also washes us by the word and renews our mind. He does it for us. Can I say it? This is His will for you, His desire for you, that your mind be renewed. And He will do it for you. Now, if He's going to do that, how do you receive from God? Ephesians 2:8, by grace, because we don't earn anything, through faith. How are you going to receive the renewing of your mind? The exact same way. You're going to have to believe the Lord that when you ask the Holy Spirit for revelation, you're going to get it. He's going to give it to you down in your spirit, man. When you then water that revelation, you believe that it's going to produce fruit. It is. It's going to sprout first in your thoughts. And then you're going to begin to speak those thoughts that now line up with His thoughts. And it's going to produce fruit in your body. That is the process of our mind being renewed. He's doing it. It's not something that I can just labor and make myself accomplish. Now, what's happening then when these thoughts come our way? Go back to Isaiah 55 that we looked at last week, but we didn't look at verses 10 and 11. I want you to look at what's happening with the Lord, given His thoughts and His ways. This is talking about the Father, who is a spirit, who has a form, who has a soul, and He has a form like a body. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, so He's likening rain here, I believe, to His words, which are coming from His thoughts, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing what? Seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. Now, I just stopped what I was doing, and I made a decision in my soul to stop. He is speaking from his spirit. He's made the choice to speak these words. And look what he says when he speaks his thoughts from his spirit. What happened? They will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. If you are made in his image, if his spirit is dwelling in your spirit and you're joined in such a way that you're one spirit, and you've renewed your mind, truly renewed your mind. How do I tell if I've truly renewed my mind? When you get bad news, what's the first thing that pops in your mind? If it's, well, praise God, Jesus bore that, so I'm not going to worry about it. Then you got an idea. If it's, oh my God, what am I going to do? Then you've got an idea. If we're missing something in the flesh, if we're not seeing the result, then I would suggest we go back and check to make sure that we've renewed our mind in that area. This is why the Lord told Reinhard Bonnke that my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. Do you believe verse 11 describes you? Have you renewed your mind to the fact? So if not, then what do we do? What are some practical things we can begin to do as we renew our mind? Now, do you remember in Romans 12, 1, the first thing it started out was present your bodies a living sacrifice? I want to tell you, I believe that's the starting point for mind renewal. It's in there in verse 1, and mind renewal is what's talked about in verse 2. You got to give yourself to the Lord, holy. You've got to trust him, believe him to do what he said he would do for you in renewing your mind. So our first step is to make a total commitment to him, sold out, first place. So let me read some notes I wrote. His will is for all of us. His will for my life must be first place in my thoughts about myself. My vocation isn't first. My family isn't first. Jesus is first. When you say, I just want to rest sometime, where do you rest? In the world or in Jesus? Because that's going to give you an indication of where you are. Rest in him. He doesn't just want us doing steps 1, 2, and 3 or following a process. He wants you in its entirety, your being in his entirety. So that's where we need to start. What's the second thing we need to do? We need to find a word on the matter we're trying to renew our mind on. Now, Pastor Trey says this, and I think it's very accurate. If you're believing for healing, if you're believing for financial prosperity, if you're believing for peace in your soul, the book of Revelation isn't where you want to be reading. You want to read where it talks about those items that you're facing, that you're addressing, that you need the mind renewal in so that you can produce fruit in this flesh. If you say, I don't know where to read, then I'll volunteer to take a phone call. If it's healing, I've got pages of scriptures that I can send you an email for healing confessions. I can do the same for prosperity, but we're here today about healing. And I know the heart of Pastor Trey and Robert, and they're willing to do the same. Because this is our job, is to give you seed that gets planted inside you, speak spirit words to you so that it will produce, not only in your spirit, but it'll grow. Now, once you get those verses, then what do you need to do? Go to Joshua, if you would. First chapter, 8th verse. Now you've got to understand, Joshua went everywhere that Moses did. He even went in the tent of the meeting when the Lord would call him there. And so, in fact, 33 verse 11 of Exodus, I believe, says that Joshua would stay in the temple, in the tent, even after Moses left. Why? He knew it was important to be in God's presence. If it was true for him, it's also true for us today. But look what then he told him. So he was familiar with his presence, but he told him, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall do what? Meditate on it." Do you know how to meditate? We taught some things Sunday night here that you may want to listen to about getting a rhema word, which is kind of what we're talking about here. And what's he telling Joshua? Meditate on it day and night. Well, I have a job. Well, I understand that. This says you can meditate on it day and night. I don't know how to meditate. We'll jokingly say, do you know how to worry? Because all we're doing in worrying is meditating the same thought over and over and over. And look what he says. When we do this, careful to do all that's written in it, we get it in our hearts so that we can go do it, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Some translations say good success. So here is another step that we need to go through. Now, we do this, and the result doesn't come right away. What do? It's time to water. How do I water? By confessing it, by speaking it out of your mouth. You know, you've got a choice when things don't happen the way you want them to quickly. And that's one of the things that Joshua learned here, is that this didn't look like the best timing for Moses to go, because they were fixing to go across, yet it was flood season. But you got to do it his way in his time. Matthew 6:31 says, "Therefore do not worry, saying," can I say that one more time or twice? "Therefore do not take anxious thoughts, saying," don't worry by speaking it. Well, what am I supposed to say then? Well, how about this? So let's talk about healing. What do I say instead? How do I water what has already been planted in me so that it'll go over and produce fruit in my flesh? How about, "It is written, Jesus bore my pain. The word says our pains he carried. All of our diseases he bore." That includes mine. That includes mine. That includes mine. It was the will of the Lord to put my pains on Jesus, and it's still his will. In fact, it's already been accomplished. Jesus told the leper, we saw this earlier, "And thus he said it to me also, of course, it is my will to heal you." It's in the doing of these few things that the Holy Spirit can take his word and displace those thoughts that control us. Now, sometimes there are thoughts that control us that we like it, because that person made me mad and I like to feel this way toward them. You got to make a decision that that's not you. We got to make the choice that we're going to be different. Beloved, I am convinced that if we do this, we will walk in a higher level of health, and we will be able to minister to others when they're unable to walk in it by themselves. Now, I don't want to lose what we spoke earlier. So that's the end of my teaching.